This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As America remembered over 2.5 centuries of fallen heroes yesterday, President Trump was in Maryland taking time to remember those who'd given their lives for the nation.
I stand before you at this noble fortress of American liberty to pay tribute to the immortal souls who fought and died to keep us free.
Trump speaking at Baltimore's Fort Henry National Monument in Baltimore following an earlier visit to lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington National Cemetery. The Federal Trade Commission says that scammers are bilking Americans out of millions of dollars with coronavirus scams. The commission says there had been 52,000 complaints involving nearly $40 million worth of losses as of the 21st of May, the average victim losing nearly $500. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
A historic week for space missions as NASA and SpaceX are teaming up for a historic manned launch from Cape Canaveral, Florida tomorrow. NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine says it will mark the first time astronauts have launched from the U.S. since the last space shuttle mission back in 2011.
We have not had a human spaceflight program since that day. But under President Trump, we're making America great again. This is part of his agenda. We're going to launch American astronauts on American rockets from American soil.
American astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley are to head to the International Space Station. Meanwhile, Richard Branson's attempt for space exploration got off to a rocky start. Yesterday, Launcher 1, as it's called, was released from the Virgin jumbo jet Cosmic Girl when the rocket malfunctioned and the flight had to be terminated. Virgin Orbit confirming the failure, saying the aircraft carrying the rocket and the flight staff were okay. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Texas Republicans say the Lone Star State will be happy to host the 2020 Republican National Convention if North Carolina doesn't. President Trump shot a tweet at North Carolina's Democratic Governor Roy Cooper yesterday, demanding a full capacity convention in Charlotte despite the virus pandemic, or the party might go somewhere else for that August event. Democratic and Republican lawmakers want the Department of Veterans Affairs to remove Nazi gravestones from American military cemeteries. There are two such headstones at Fort Sam Houston National Cemetery in San Antonio, one at Fort Douglas Post Cemetery in Salt Lake City. They're for German prisoners of war. All three are marked with swastikas. The parents of a University of Connecticut student suspected of murdering two people are pleading with him to surrender. Peter Manfredonia is accused of killing a 62-year-old man on Friday and killing an acquaintance on Sunday. The FBI now part of a manhunt for the 23-year-old. And filmmakers Michael Moore and Jeff Gibbs are crying censorship after YouTube ruled their documentary Planet of the Humans was pulled. The film criticizes current environmental approaches to combating climate change. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Over the years, there have been so many people who have suffered from not having life insurance. It's not that they didn't care about protecting their loved ones. It's just that they didn't know why it's so important. If you died, how would your family pay the bills, the mortgage, let alone plan for a better future? This is what life insurance is all about. Providing for your family, even after you're gone. And level term coverage is the best option. It's not expensive and it's not complicated. You need 10 to 12 times your income in life insurance protection. And you need to call ReliaQuote. They represent 15 of the top life insurance providers. And their agents are experts at helping you find the right policy for your needs. Protect your family. Give ReliaQuote a call for a free no-hassle quote now. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. That's 800-478-0793.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, hello, America. How you doing? Okay, starting to break out, getting out a little bit more, doing the socially responsible sort of thing, taking care of yourself so you can take care of others. Good to have you with us. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here, and Dr. Michael Bussler joins us, the public policy analyst and economics professor. Dr. Bussler, always good to have you with us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks for having me. As you know, it's my pleasure to be here.
Well, it's always good to have your insight here, being the stellar economist that you are. You know, some of these polls that are out there, Michael, are really, hard for me to connect the dots with them. I kind of feel like, are we being set up like we were in 2016, where the people are told that Joe Biden is just so much smarter and better than Donald Trump at everything, they have to relent a little bit to the economy, only by maybe 3 points of difference. But based on 8 years of Biden-Obama, and certainly Biden's new personality in terms of being a bit of a chameleon and heading hard left, he wants to take away the very things that have made America a successful country. And in order to satisfy, the Democrats and those on the left, but in light of where we are right now, where we're going to be rebuilding this country as a result of COVID-19, how are Joe Biden's policies anywhere close to 3% differential of, restarting, the economic engine of this country? When he and Obama had 8 years and couldn't even do it once, and Donald Trump was able to, do so well in 3.5 years in the midst of being impeached and everything else that was thrown upon him.
Yeah, so a couple things. One, the reliability of the polls is somewhat in question, similar to it was the way it was in 2016. And why is that? A couple reasons. One, when the pollsters select the sample, they select the sample that has more Democrats in it than Republicans, and it doesn't really reflect the population. So you get some numbers that are skewed in favor of Democrats. Secondly, because the press is so negative about Donald Trump, people are a little apprehensive about saying they support President Trump. And I think that's what happened a lot during the 2016 election. People were a little nervous on the phone to say that they would vote for him, but when they got in the voting booth, they ended up voting for him. So I think the polls are a little bit skewed. Secondly, and even more importantly, and you bring up a great point, the major issue, I think, in this election is going to turn out to be rebuilding the economy. We've obviously been devastated by our reaction to this corona virus, and in the next couple of months, we'll get out some numbers that are shockingly terrible. Mm-hmm. But we're starting to turn around even now. So as the economy begins to reopen and the recovery starts. But it'll take a little time to get off the ground. So by November, I think the economy will have begun to recover. So the question is, which president's policies are most likely to help the recovery? And you bring up a great point. After the 2008-2009 recession, the Obama-Biden team really never brought the economy back. It took until 2013, almost 4 years after the recession ended, to get back to where we were before, and then growth was very, very slow until President Trump came in and started focusing on growth. Mm-hmm. So when President Trump did come in and his focus was on growth, economic growth picked up, should have picked up a little more than it did, but the Federal Reserve was kind of working against them there for a while. But even in spite of that, he was able to get the economy going again. And most importantly, he was able to provide opportunity for people. So particularly lower income earners saw their wages increase at the fastest rate they had in decades. There were more jobs available. If you look at the unemployment rate for low income workers and some of the minority groups, they were at rock bottom. So President Trump is going to say, look, we're coming out of this recession. We're in a recovery. Look at the track record of me and look at the track record of the Obama-Biden administration and who really do you want to lead the economy through a recovery and finally into a big expansion? And exactly. I think that will lean, people will lean more toward President Trump.
Yeah, to me, it seems so clear, Michael, because, you know, even with the recovery that took 3.5-4 years under Obama-Biden, he had to do it with a little bit of sleight of hand. I mean, we had employees out there working 2-3 jobs because of what they did with Obamacare. And, exactly. You know, and I thought it was quite ironic because I saw some, you know, some black reporters claiming that, you know, Trump had done that. And I go, wait a minute, no, Trump wasn't even in office. I mean, this was done by Obama where everybody right. was, you know, their regular full-time jobs were cut because, of the legal requirements, the amount yeah. of hours, all that sort of thing. And so in order to make up for that, they had to go and scramble and work 3 minimum wage jobs to make up. And even then they couldn't make up because there was no way they could recapture healthcare, though we were told by the president that you didn't have anything to worry about. You could keep your doctor and you were going to pay less, which the exact opposite is what happened.
Yeah, that's a great point. So what Obama's intention was, he wanted everybody who was working to have health insurance paid by their employers. And there was a mandate that employers had to do that or they would pay a $3,000 fine per employee. So the law said anybody who works a full-time job has to be provided health insurance. How do you define a full-time job? President Obama defined it as anybody working over 30 hours a week. So what employers did, particularly for lower skilled and lower income workers, everybody worked less than 30 hours a week.
Exactly.
And if we needed more, we just got more. So instead of hiring 3 people to work 40 hours a week, you would end up hiring 4 people, 3 people to work 40 hours a week, you would end up hiring 4 people to work even less hours. So everybody had these part-time jobs, and because they needed income, what they ended up doing is taking more than one of these part-time jobs. So it looked like Obama was providing a lot of jobs to the economy, and really these were low-quality, low-paying jobs. Conversely, President Trump, through stimulating the economy, got it so the companies were now, and he did away with that mandate, so mm-hmm. companies were now hiring more people, better quality jobs, and at higher pay. So it's not just the quantity of the jobs, it's the quality of the jobs. That's why personal incomes were going up, wages were going up, and we had really a very robust economy for the 3 years under President Trump. And he's going to push the fact that, remember how it was during Obama, Biden, remember how it was during me for 3 years. Everybody's going to want to have him for the 3 years rather than the Obama Biden method, and I think that's going to help him win the election in November.
And also, we're at a point where we need to create new sectors, because no doubt the landscape has been greatly altered. I mean, some jobs and businesses are gone almost for good here, Michael. I don't know how they recover whatsoever. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. Dr. Michael Bussler is with us, the public policy analyst and economics professor. More from him after this. Stay with us.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Attention, gardeners. If you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24-7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Over the years, there have been so many people who have suffered from not having life insurance. It's not that they didn't care about protecting their loved ones. It's just that they didn't know why it's so important. If you died, how would your family pay the bills, the mortgage, let alone plan for a better future? This is what life insurance is all about. Providing for your family, even after you're gone. And level term coverage is the best option. It's not expensive and it's not complicated. You need 10 to 12 times your income in life insurance protection. And you need to call ReliaQuote. They represent 15 of the top life insurance providers. And their agents are experts at helping you find the right policy for your needs. Protect your family. Give ReliaQuote a call for a free no-hassle quote now. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. That's 800-478-0793.
Values, faith, service. They still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent we are. We come to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. And we're talking with Dr. Michael Busler, the public policy analyst, economics professor. You know, Michael, I think it's going to be real clear third quarter as we continue to move out of, these pandemic restraints that we've been in. And it's going to be real clear between the blue and the red states. And we're already seeing the movement in a positive manner, is that the red states are promoting business once again. Yes, okay, with some covering and, you know, all the right things that we should incorporate, the social distancing and all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure how long the mask will last. Maybe we can be out of the mask situation maybe in 90 days or so. We're just getting through that process. But that aside, you know, it's just the idea that we're getting business back together, and I believe that what we're starting to see is the red states are more vibrant. There's more excitement. There's more this idea that there's some hope in the red states. The blue states, not so much. And I think that does not bode well for, you know, Democrats come the election in November. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. I live in New Jersey, southern New Jersey, at the Jersey Shore, just down beach from Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. And New Jersey has been hit hard, but all of it is up in northern New Jersey around New York City. In southern New Jersey, particularly along the coast here, we've only had between the Atlantic and Cape May counties, the two southernmost counties, you know, we've only had a couple thousand cases and a little over 100 fatalities. I don't want to make light of that, but it's certainly nothing like what they're having in North Jersey. And the problem is Governor Murphy is setting a policy for the whole state based on North Jersey. It's clobbering the economy here. Mm-hmm. These businesses, particularly the seasonal ones, they only have 6 months to make enough to cover themselves for the year. Exactly. Already they missed what we call the shoulder season between Easter and Memorial Day. We're still not open, so we missed Memorial Day weekend, and they're pushing.
Now, help me out just a minute. Now that you mentioned that, I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off. Right. Forgive me. Yeah. But this is the thing that drove me nuts. It's like, okay, we're going to close, you know, we're going to keep beaches closed, all these businesses closed on Memorial Day, but the day after it's okay. What? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And, blue state governors, New York and New Jersey, Illinois, California, they're really destroying the economy of their state. New York City, I don't know if it's ever going to be the same. You go there now, it's literally a ghost town.
I can't believe it. I'm watching video of downtown Manhattan, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. How is this? Because look what happened. I mean, you've got the density there, and it was ripe for the picking. And it's telling people, look, if you want to live in these dense areas, you know, God bless you. But, you know, things like this, whether it's the flu, you know, COVID next season or what, God only knows what else next. I mean, when you are in these dense areas, you got to just figure that into the risk factor, right?
Exactly. And, you know, the governors have to make a decision here whether to open or to stay closed longer. Now, you're in a no-win situation. No matter what you do, you lose. Mm-hmm. So when you're in a position like that, you want to pick a strategy that minimizes your losses.
Right.
My view is I would open now, get things going. If the number of cases could spike a little bit, I don't know. They may or may not. But the longer you keep this closed, the more you destroy the economy. That's going to lead to massive unemployment. That'll lead to alcohol abuse, drug abuse, domestic violence, eventually suicide, depression. You're going to have more
people. It's already there. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Hurt. Wide open.
Well, the other thing that happens, Michael, and I'm not a doctor, okay? I profess that, but just logic and reason tells me that for all that we did in order to flatten the curve, that we did some damage. And I've spoken with other experts, and they go, Bill, you're right on in this, and people aren't reporting on this, is that for all the stifling and the quarantining of everybody, what we did in in the way in which we try to flatten the curve, we also, elongated the curve when it came to herd immunity, because we had limited exposure. And by now, the herd immunity would have been a lot higher. And I don't know those numbers, but reason tells you that this was affected by that.
Exactly. So they told us we had to quarantine ourselves, shelter ourselves to flatten this curve. And you're right, we did flatten it. But I don't know that we reduced the total number of people that are affected by this. All we did was, as you mentioned, just stretch this out. Mm-hmm. Well, the economic damage from stretching it out is going to be far greater than had we not done that and allowed more interaction.
Right.
So the sooner we get back to normal, or as close to normal as we can, the better. And look, around here, practically all of the cases are in nursing homes, prisons, or people over 65 who already had chronic conditions. So I would say, keep the nursing people obviously in the nursing homes, keep the prisoners in prison, and anybody over 65, if you're not comfortable about going out, then stay home or minimize the amount that you go out. But let the rest of the economy open up.
Exactly.
And get going so we don't turn into a depression.
Yeah, and you just can't let Governor Cuomo set policy for nursing homes. Not good. I mean, this is really pathetic. And for him to try to blame Donald Trump for it, I mean, blame God, blame Donald Trump. I don't know, he just misread the memo from the CDC, because when you read the memo, it doesn't say, with people with COVID, just make an immediate order, slam them into these nursing homes when they were ill prepared to manage that. And, the nursing homes, what were they going to do? Their license were subject, to scrutiny and possibly even losing their license. So they had to go along. And, I think nursing home deaths are almost twice the number of people that died in New York in 9/11. And this is totally, totally in the hands and at the feet of, what some Democrats were, thinking they were all a buzz about, because, they don't have a lot of confidence that Biden's going to be able to make it, to the convention, that they're looking for, some replacement. And they're thinking Governor Cuomo is the guy. I'm going, whoa, I'm not even sure that he wants to get in the line of fire here, because, they're already, coming after him, with the facts and his decisions in handling the coronavirus.
Yeah, and I think it's very ironic the way he tries to put the blame on President Trump, because remember, Governor Cuomo said, look, we're going to need all these new 30,000 more ventilators or people are going to die. We ended up getting all the ventilators. We don't have enough hospital beds, Cuomo kept yelling. We sent a ship up there with 1,000 beds, and they used less than 100. We took the Javits Center, added 2,900 beds to that. They only ended up using a couple hundred. So President Trump responded to everything he wanted, and he didn't even need it all.
Right.
And now he's trying to blame President Trump for additional problems. Simply not fair.
Well, and then the other thing, again, this is what colors the people's perception in some of this polling. And, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, I mean, set that aside. Look, we got to think about we the people and the greater good of the American people. And the perception is that Joe Biden would have done so much better than Donald Trump in handling COVID-19. I mean, to me, that is just a stupid proposition, because Joe Biden is not in this position. And you can look back and say, what did he handle in other things, like, the Ukraine deal or China deals or other things like this. But in pandemics like this, although they did have a slight pandemic of their own that you could question, but going head to head with this, and I think it's impossible to run a true comparison, but I'm not convinced Joe Biden would do a better job than Donald Trump.
Now, if you take a look at his record, they had the swine flu in, was that 2010? I think it was 6 months into the pandemic before they even declared it a national emergency. And we ended up having huge numbers of people, millions of people that ended up being affected by this. And I think the number of fatalities was in the hundreds of thousands.
Six months versus weeks, and somehow the Democrats would do better. I don't go. I'm sorry. Dr. Michael Busler, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
At historic lows, and this is our lowest 30-year fixed rate ever. And now your direct lender, Network Capital Funding, is offering mortgage rates at historic lows. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible. Plus, there's no lender origination fees or discount points. This is the best it's ever been. And now you have Network Capital Funding on your side, saving you money and time with their uniquely fast, simple, and secure process. These are our best rates ever. So call now to save. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding. 800-500, the number one, HIT. That's 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. It's a grand slam to your best savings ever on your new mortgage or refi. That's 800-500-1-HIT or 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law. Number 603-D77. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As America remembered over 2.5 centuries of fallen heroes yesterday, President Trump was in Maryland taking time to remember those who'd given their lives for the nation.
I stand before you at this noble fortress of American liberty to pay tribute to the immortal souls who fought and died to keep us free.
Trump speaking at Baltimore's Fort Henry National Monument in Baltimore following an earlier visit to lay a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier at Arlington National Cemetery. The Federal Trade Commission says that scammers are bilking Americans out of millions of dollars with coronavirus scams. The commission says there had been 52,000 complaints involving nearly $40 million worth of losses as of the 21st of May, the average victim losing nearly $500. This is USA Radio News.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA? Or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
I'll tell you, that spirit isn't rising these days. I don't know what else it's going to take here, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing like, knowing what liberty is and having it taken away or restricted in any way, especially in a free country, to really raise your ire. It's 28 minutes before the top of the hour. The associate research scholar and lecturer in politics and public affairs at Princeton University, Dr. Lauren Wright, joins us now. Lauren, how are you?
I'm okay, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you here. So are we going to have everybody back in school come September? What do you think?
I mean, we will have people in school, but I know, Princeton hasn't made a decision yet based on whether we're going to have in-person teaching or online. So I'm making preparations for online just in case. It's a lot of uncertainty, and we have quite a few months to go to see what happens.
Well, just coming off the heels of Memorial Day, and I believe it's such a hallowed day for us all to really realize, the blood, the treasure, the ultimate investment into the liberties of our country. Memorial Day is just so special, for me, and I believe for all veterans and for all Americans. And, this was, a time, and I would hope that some sobriety would reign. And I don't know what else we can do here, Lauren, to where we could vacate some of this, bitter politicization that has entered into the body politic. Because, you know, all this stuff that's going on, I don't see it making us better. It seems to be making us more bitter than better.
I agree. And, you know, what happens when we get angry, and a lot of people are for really good reasons, and a lot of people are scared, is we do politicize and we do kind of rally around our own camps. And on top of that, you know, we're dealing with a pandemic in an election year, and it's just probably the worst combination of factors you could have for people being angry and scared and resentful and not knowing where to turn for some sober source of authority, and that source has not been government,
yes.
Democrats or Republicans.
It was never intended to be that way, was it, though?
Yeah.
It was never intended for us to be looking to government. I mean, when you have a government up for by we the people, you know, self-responsibility is the rule. And, you know, if we're looking, you know, constantly for the government, you know, for answers, we're in trouble. I mean, there's just something a little backwards here. And, President Trump on Election Day, on his inauguration day, I should say, made the statement that he was putting, you know, the rule of government back in the hands of the people. But I'm not sure the people understand what that looks like.
Well, you know, we do have to be able to count on government for a few things. And you're right, we don't like to count on it for very many, but national security and a global health pandemic that we have no control over as individuals, beyond protecting our own families as much as we can, those are some of the rare circumstances in which government should provide some guidelines and a coordinated response to an external threat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just think, and by the way, I've seen really convincing evidence that shows the lockdown has really hurt us. There's a great piece in the Hill by economists that estimates we're looking at 65,000 additional lives per month based on just data that we've had for decades. And of course, there's epidemiologists who have said from the beginning, if you don't take this seriously, it spreads in a very, very frightening way and will lose lives. And so I'm not coming at this from either side of the argument that's unfortunately become politicized, but I think we can all agree that government has failed us because we made a sacrifice. And what did we get for it? I don't think anyone really knows the answer. Yes, our hospitals needed to be shored up. We would not have been able to take an increase in cases from what we had. But the economic cost, when you look at 22% unemployment, I don't think anyone can say the government did an adequate job. Mm-hmm. I think everyone is upset at what happened. And I do think the government had a role in this.
No doubt. Well, to your point, you know, and this is why I appreciate you here, because you bring, you know, some sobriety to the discussion that is so needed. And maybe we will not have all the answers. I'm convinced we're not going to have all the answers. And maybe we never will, because what happens with bureaucracy and big government, it's all about CYA. So are we going to be able to really get down to the bottom and find out? But right now, just from a cursory viewpoint, I can see where the information that we received in the initial modeling, information that came out of China, not good. WHO backed up what China said, not good. Modeling that we got from the Imperial College in London, the same people that gave us, you know, some screwball-y models regarding climate change, you know, and to me, Lauren, I'm the kind of person that if you have, you know, if you've got it wrong, boy, you better work on your credibility. And, you know, I cannot give you credibility and allow you to bring your information and your modeling that didn't work before and bring it in under a new topic and really scare the heck out of people and be instrumental in causing our government to decide to shut down our economy. I mean, this is ludicrous. And those are just a couple of points. So we have to look back and consider the information that corrupted the decision-making line that we went with.
Well, I think no matter how you look at it, there just should have been more preparation, including economic modeling that shows the impact of something like a complete shutdown of the economy and a lockdown. And I don't know why we're trying to figure this out as individual citizens, but the government should have had all of that information. They should have balanced those statistics against one another from the very beginning, and they should have counted on China to lie and deceive and to have propaganda, because that is what they do. And, you know, I just don't think that Americans sitting home now with no health care and no job are going to be satisfied with blaming China for this, whether they're responsible or not. They want other answers, and they are going to look for assurance that this is never going to happen again. And well, they will hold the president responsible. He's on the ballot, and they'll hold their congressional representatives responsible. It's not going to be the governors. And so, you know,
you don't think the governors,
the administration's going to have.
You don't think the governors are going to pay a price on this? I mean, you talk about
11 of them are up for election in November. I don't know. Most of them will not, especially the ones in the populated states, they're just not on the ballot. And we know from studies that Americans hold responsible the president for things like this. And I think they should.
Well, there is no doubt that the buck's got to stop somewhere, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on the president for this and being responsible. But also, you know, I think governors are going to take a hit that are especially up for election for some of the decisions that they have made and that they failed to make. I mean, when they knew that their healthcare infrastructure was compromised, they did nothing to do. They didn't do anything about it. Left their citizens vulnerable. I mean, that falls on them, and that's up to them. I mean, decisions like we were just talking about Governor Cuomo, who I don't know if he misread the memo or whatever, because when you read the memo from the CDC, I didn't get his conclusion that you should put infected COVID patients, don't ask them if they have COVID, but you need to put them into nursing homes, and you've got twice as many people, basically, twice as many people died in these nursing homes in New York then died at 9/11. I mean, this is a disaster.
It is. It is a disaster, and I don't think anyone is free of blame. But governors, you know, are not equipped to deal with a national health crisis, and neither is Congress. Our government in many ways is set up to be the agrarian society that we had at the founding, and it is not that anymore, and that's why the president is so important.
Well, and you bring up a good point in terms of being better prepared. I mean, how long have we been talking about EMT pulse attack? You know, that what that would do, the impact. And, you know, in a sense, I mean, this isn't exactly that, but this pandemic has really devastated this country. There's no doubt about it. We've got more from Dr. Lauren Wright after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem problem with drugs or alcohol. Do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That is why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients. Employing Americans. Log on now at 2020safe.net and order your liter bottle and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free. By using code GCN at checkout, 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. From germ-zapping hand sanitizer to immune-building nutraceuticals, 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. Remember to enter GCN at checkout and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Conversation with Dr. Lauren Wright, the Associate Research Scholar and Lecturer in Politics and Public Affairs at Princeton University, continues. Lauren, how do we, I mean, is it going to be possible for us to get the politics out of all this stuff? Because we can, you know, we can play the blame game, but I think that's a waste of time. You know, we need to move to solution and have a concerted effort here, because so much of our country has been devastated, and, you know, and in the aftermath of all this, we've got all kinds of stuff. People are committing suicide. Drug usage is on the increase. All these things, all these malfactors that we were warned about by the scientists that would occur are starting to happen. Unemployment's having its impact on the psychology. And I just think, wow, the psychological damage that has happened to our country. It's like we need some universal therapy here.
That's true. And another really disturbing thing that's happened is a lot of people with serious medical conditions have not undergone treatment during this time. And so many people are dying because of that. And, you know, unfortunately, I think the answer is no, we're not going to see politics removed from this anytime soon, because politics, that's the tool we have for holding our government accountable, elections. So that's our number one tool, and that is what people will seek to do in November, is hold people accountable.
Do you feel that, I feel more and more abandoned by the mainstream media, because in terms of holding the government accountable, the mainstream media has been the traditional resource, but they seem to have enjoined with the political class. They become part and parcel of the problem and not the solution that our founding fathers had expected them to be.
You know, I think we have a lot of really principled, talented journalists in this country. I think most of them are in it for the right reasons. And I always say that the number one bias that journalists do have is ambition in a good way, because they do want to get the story regardless of which party it impacts. And I truly believe that, and there's evidence there. But you're right that there are exceptions, and it's hurtful when we have media bias. And there are lots of different kinds of media bias, not just what party is represented, but which story we choose, how it's framed. And so I do think we need a healthy amount of skepticism with regard to the media, but there are a lot of great journalists out there that are doing their jobs.
I guess, you know, to that point, that's what bothers me, because if I was in that profession, I would hope that I would, well, I know me, I'd be fired all the time, because I would take on the editors in pursuit of the truth. And that's just the way I was raised. And so I would be ornery enough that I'd be bouncing around from place to place, because and there are quality journalists, to your point. I agree with that. I think that they've been handcuffed a bit. And that's what disappoints me. It disappoints me for them, because I think of the raw talent and what they could be doing and how they could, you know, serve themselves and serve us all the more with their giftedness and talent and the budgets that some of these big media operations have in order to do, you know, great things. I say, you know, big companies do big things, and big, you know, media houses and big publications can do big things because, you know, of the research dollars and the support that they have on staff there to do. But if the perspective becomes tainted and prejudiced, as outlined by, you know, the Media Research Council, which demonstrates time and time again, just in a general context, 90% of the reporting is so one-sided. You know, that's an unfortunate thing, because I think we all lose out because of that.
That's true, and you know, audiences too, unfortunately, do prefer to see news through their existing partisan lens, and so then news channels oblige them, and
yes,
you know, so there's plenty of blame to go around all around. But I do think media consumers need to be savvy and ask themselves tough questions. But it's unfortunate we can't just turn on the TV and you know, take all of the information and perspectives for what they are. We have to look at it from a critical eye. And I can say from an academic research perspective too, I mean, we don't have, I think, the extent of this issue, but, you know, academic research should never be driven by an agenda.
Exactly.
Second, social science too, you know, prefers one result over another, then we have nothing. We have no credibility. And so that's very much something, you know, scientists, especially in economics and political science and sociology, that we always have to be aware of, is you can't look for a certain result. Otherwise, you're not a real scientist. So we all deal with versions of this.
And you touched on something that's so important, and that is that, you know, we've been saying on this show, Lauren, that, you know, reason, common sense has to return, and critical thinking. We seem to have abandoned those issues for the sake of partisanship and for the, you know, kind of the, you talk about shelter in place. America's been, you know, sheltered in place. Politically, for quite a while, we've been siloed in such a way, as my good friend Dr. Riley says, is that you can silo yourself to such a point that you render yourself, you know, this is my word, not his, you kind of render yourself stupid, because you stop thinking, you stop expanding your intellect, because you become so ideologically fixed.
That's right, and I think an interesting or an optimistic way to look at it from a political perspective is there are a lot of partisans in this country, and we have very close presidential elections. And so many people will see the pandemic and will see the lockdown from a partisan perspective. And if they're Democrats, they'll think everything the administration did was horrible. And if they're Republicans, they'll think everything it did was great. But there is this 7 to 10% middle of America who are pure independents, who don't lean one way or another, and they really decide the elections. And now they're paying closer attention than ever. And so those people, I think, will really have a voice. And by the way, they voted for Trump mostly last time.
Exactly.
But I don't necessarily necessarily think that'll happen. I do think they're paying close attention and they're not happy with what they see. But we do still have that chunk of Americans that doesn't side with one party over another.
Exactly. Yeah, God bless the independents. What are you making of this latest controversy, all brought to you by, I mean, it just seems like the General Mike Flynn, brouhaha, more than brouhaha. I mean, what's been going on here is really kind of opening up, you know, Pandora's box, and now we have Obamagate on the horizon. What do you make of all this?
I mean, I'm really disturbed by the president's attacks on the Obama administration because a lot of it is unfounded. And I think you can look at the Mike Flynn case in a lot of different ways. And yes, one of them is certainly that there are plenty of things to reform in the FBI, and there are maybe ways to reform how people are questioned and how cases are investigated. But, you know, I do, when I think about it, have to return to the facts, which is that Mike Flynn did lie to the FBI. He did plead guilty twice. And if we're not going to hold him to the standard that is currently the law, then there are a lot of other Americans who have been in jail for that exact same crime or have done probation for that same crime who were not treated with such grace. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you're going to look at the case with a critical eye toward the FBI, you have to look at everybody and you have to look at all of these cases. But mm-hmm. I don't think they should be decided based on political alliances, and that's what I see too much of right now.
Well, that seems to be the case going into this. Speaking of political alliances, that what seems to be indicated is that this was politically driven, and it wasn't the first time that this happened in the Obama administration. I mean, look at what happened with Lois Lerner and the IRS against conservative groups. I mean, to this day, they still haven't been healed, and in some cases, you know, I've maintained that what Lois Lerner did, and the indication was, is that this was done on a suggestion by Obama that there should be heavier scrutiny on conservative groups, and she executed that, and I believe that in the process probably influenced, you know, at least I'd say 6 to 8 voting cycles, because you had the Tea Party groups that were so singularly attacked, conservative groups attacked, and taken, you know, it, maybe not totally off the field of play, but put on the sidelines. And so this seems to be the modus operandi of an administration. So, you know, I start looking at that, because, you know, the old saying, if you want to look at what someone will do, look at what they've done. And I think there's some patterns here that are disturbing.
Well, there aren't just the patterns on the anti-Republican side, though.
I agree. Look, there's plenty of patterns to go around. I'm only talking specifically about what happened with Mike Flynn. And when you pull this into it, and I know that's the general, you know, argument that, well, he lied. Well, and you have FBI agents saying, well, he didn't lie. And yet it became a lie. And then I think people can have compassion in saying, look at, they hotboxed this guy. And they said, look at, if you don't go along with this, because they did the same thing to Jerome Corsi, and Jerome Corsi has documented this. They had the same pattern. But Jerome Corsi just said, hey, I'm not going to lie. Put me in jail, but I'm not going to lie. And so they finally let go of it. But Flynn was a different case. He seemed to be a rather targeted individual and project in this particular case, against Trump. And it just opens up an ugly bucket and basket of worms here that, I'll tell you, it's quite concerning, at least from my perspective. So, anyway.
We have a lot more to talk about, I can tell.
Always. I always enjoy our time.
Always remain silent, and I'm sure we'll pick it up another time.
It's never boring between us. Dr. Lauren Wright, thank you, Lauren. Take care. Be safe.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing. Mile-long lines
at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want